All right, everyone. We're going to take a few minutes tonight to draw your attention to James chapter 2. I originally planned on Wednesday nights being dedicated to Jesus is praying for us, and I kind of shifted it over to Sunday nights. And so I wanted to start something that's just been on my heart and mind in recent times about the perils of ignoring red flags. The perils of ignoring red flags. How many of you read about what happened yesterday in Michigan at the school? Very, very sad story. A 15-year-old sophomore at the high school came to school with a gun that his father had just bought on Black Friday. He killed three students, and then a football player tried to stop him from proceeding to kill others. He killed the football player, and by that time, they were able to subdue him so he wouldn't kill anybody else. There were a lot of red flags. The student body indicated that they knew he was a loose cannon fixing to go off. First of all, his parents. His parents were anti-police and had posted tons of videos about their hatred for the police and how racist the police were and all that kind of stuff, and soured the boy completely to all authority. The second thing that came out was the things that he posted on social media. The police found on his phone two videos describing what he was going to do at the school, told who he was going to go after, how many he was going to try to kill. Thirdly, he was very active in the gaming community. He spent a lot of time on his computer playing games. Most of them were mass murder type games, where you're out trying to kill as many people as you can, get as many points as you can in that regard. I want to tell you just right now, you can sit there and say, oh, it's only a game. You're ignoring the perils, and you're right in the middle of the red flags. This boy had let it be known that he didn't like authority, he didn't like his principal, he didn't like anybody that was in authority over him, and there were tons of students that said, we knew it was going to be him. We knew it was going to be him. And everybody was ignoring it. Oh, maybe it won't happen. There are serious perils when you ignore red flags, no matter what they are, and especially ones that deal in the spiritual realm. We live in a world today that's creeping into our heads, into our homes at a rapid pace. And in many cases, we don't see it. We don't think about it. And we should be. We shouldn't be ignoring the perils that are out there. And especially the red flags that say, no, wait a minute, stop. Don't go down that road. That could be bad. Let me just give you an illustration. When I was in India, they took us to Kerala, which was the next large state in India, next to where we were at. We were in Tamil Nadu. We went over to Kerala. And he said, I want to take you to a jungle park. And I said, am I going to be killed? That was the first thing. Oh, no, no, it's safe, brother. It's safe. And, we got over there, and he said, oh, look at the water here. Don't stand too close to the water, Pastor Brainerd. And I said, what's up? Oh, there's lots of crocodiles in the water. Oh, look over there. And I could see there were dozens of them up, laying up on the sand and so forth like that. And all I could think of was, you know, gators. I mean, you know, at your place, you got warning signs all over the place, but does it stop people from running down to the water? No. Oh, here, gator, gator. That's what a lot of them are doing. You know, they want to see the gator come up. Do a roll for us. Oh, he'll do one, all right. He'll put a death roll on you before you can stand. But I remember he said, don't stand too close, Brother Cherian. I could hear his high-pitched voice. Don't stand too close to the water, Brother Brainerd. And I kind of stepped back when I saw the size of those crocodiles. Now, I could have ignored it. So I'm from Florida. Okay? I know alligators. I've been around them since I was a kid. And I've been out on a boat. And we had a gator one time. Brother Frank worked here in the ministry. He used to take Roger and I fishing. And Brother Gator let us go fishing out there. And we caught a bunch of catfish. And we went to pull the stringer up. And they were all gone. There was a gator out there that was pulling them off the stringer. And we after all that was hours of fishing, that's all we had. You could see a little flesh hanging on the hook there, and said, "We're getting out of here." And we just started rowing like crazy to get back to shore. What happens when you ignore perils, like creatures that are swimming underneath your boat and taking away your fish? Big creatures, they're not little bitty ones, big ones. You ignore them and you get very cavalier and you think you've got everything under control and nothing's going to happen to you. That same park, all right, I was there for 3 weeks in India. That same park, Brother Cherian came to me and he said, "Pastor Brainerd," I said, "I don't want to frighten you or anything like that, but there was a woman that was drug off of the shore by one of the crocodiles at that same place you and I were at." And I was like, "You've got to be kidding me. Brother, you took me there. You're trying to get rid of me or something?" You know, "Oh, no, Pastor Brainerd, we were trying to do that." But he said, "It is something that a woman was drug off of that shore there and was killed by one of the crocodiles. It happens in India." All right. Well, I didn't want it to happen to me. All right. I didn't ask, "Hey, can I go to a crocodile-infested jungle place location miles away from a hospital? Can I do that?" No. And I said, "Brother Cherian, would you please give me more details about our trips whenever we go out?" He took me to another park. And I was sitting there eating my food, and a monkey came out of a tree and stole my sandwich right out of my hand. Not to mention that same one took off and knocked a child down and took a little piece of corn that they were nibbling on in this little park. We were all eating there, several families and so forth. That same monkey that took my sandwich out of my hand went over there and knocked a child down, got the corn and took up in the tree and was sitting up there and, "Hey!" I wanted to throw a rock at him. Yeah, took my sandwich away from him. Perils. I wasn't familiar with jungle life in India. I had no idea. You know, when you watch Mutual of Omaha as a child, and you see an aged man, you know, wrestling snakes and doing all, I mean, you think you're invincible, right? Nothing's going to bother me. I'm from Florida. We've seen everything here. The same thing can happen to you as a Christian, where you think that you're immune to the perils of this world. I want to tell you something. It happens far too often where Christians just fall right and left. I'm going to end with this illustration, and I'm going to read with this passage of Scripture. Years ago, we had a man who moved his family down here, and Mr. Petters. Many of you remember Mr. Carl Petters. He was a pastor up in Ohio, moved down here. And I had him for Bible class. He spoke in chapel quite often. And I'll never forget an illustration that he gave in chapel. He said there was a situation where people kept falling off a cliff in California. And people were dying. So one of the people, I remember liberal people live in California, not everybody that's in California is liberal, but a lot of people said, "No, let's put an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. That way, when they fall off, put them right in the ambulance, take them to the hospital." That sound like a reasonable thing to do? They didn't make it. People were still dying. So the next thing was, said, "Let's build a hospital right here at the base of the cliff. All we have to do is go out in the parking lot, scrape them up, run them inside, we'll save them." And then this elderly gentleman who was laughing at this whole scenario said, "Why don't you put a fence up there at the top of the cliff and then nobody will fall off. Only stupid people will fall off then that climb over the fence and then fall off the side." Do you realize how many people in California have fallen off cliffs in the last 3 years? The reason is they go over the barriers and they do selfies. When you do like this, and what happens to your balance? And they start falling backwards. There's nothing to grab onto. They've had dozens of people that have been killed. A couple of people have survived, but they were maimed because they ignored the peril. And some people are thinking the solution is, let's put an ambulance down there. Scrape them up. Put the hospital down there. When we ought to be doing what? building fences up on the cliff to keep us from falling off the cliff in the first place. Now, Christian, how many of us are thinking like those that would say, let's put an ambulance down the hill? You know, an ambulance will get us there fast enough. No, build the fence where you'll keep from falling off the cliff. You're not immune just because you're a Christian. You're not immune to sin. I want to close by reading verses 14 through 24 of James chapter 2, and then we're going to close in prayer because this is going to be my kickoff start on the perils of ignoring red flags. I want you to listen to God's Word tonight. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Now here's a person who says, I've got faith, but they don't have any works. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? See how shallow these responses are? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe. If that's going to be your standard, understand also the devils believe, and they what? They tremble. There's human beings that don't even do that. They say that they believe in one God. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now this is going to get to the heart of this whole peril situation. Talking about faith in God. We have faith in God, but there's no works to back it up. What are you doing? You're ignoring the red flags. You're ignoring the red flags that can lead to terrible, terrible problems. Not only in your own personal life, but in your children's lives. Like this young man up in Michigan, 15, anti-police, anti-this. Why? His parents were that way. Ranted all the time, posting on social, filled his heart and mind with that. He's got the same attitude. He's alive right now, but four people are dead. And there's six others that are in the hospital right now. As I just checked it right before I came in here, there's six others in the hospital, and they don't know whether they're going to make it or not. Okay? He's a murderer, and he got put on the pathway because of ignoring perils. Ignoring perils. Let's go on. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called, now get this, the friend of God. You know, you hear about David being a man after God's own heart. Abraham was called the friend of God. Why? He didn't ignore the perils. Whenever Lot was down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, what was Abraham trying to get him to do? Get out of there! Don't be going down there! Prayed to God, Lord, if there be 50, if there be 45, if there be 40, if there be 30, if there be 10, please save them! But what did they want? They thought they were insulated. They thought they would be fine. Remember, God, the Bible says that Lot was just. He was a just man. What did he do? He chose to ignore the perils. Is he called a friend of God in the Bible, Lot? No. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And we'll pick up with this, Lord willing, next time. I want to encourage you, Christians, those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ, do not be cavalier in your attitude. There's not a one in this room, there's not a Christian on this earth that is insulated from the attacks of Satan. Sometimes God allows it. Did you know that? He did in Job's case. Satan came to God and said, I want to take on your servant. I can get him to turn against you. He said, all right, go ahead. Just spare his life. Job had no idea that all that was happening in his family, the loss of his children, the loss of his possessions, almost the loss of his wife, who said, curse God and die. All that happened because Satan was allowed to tempt and try. Nobody is immune. And so we need to call upon the grace of God every day and say, Lord, help me to be walking closer to you today than I was yesterday. If you're satisfied with your walk, something's wrong with your spirit. Let me say that again. If you're satisfied with your walk right now, something's wrong with your spirit, because your spirit says, I'm not satisfied with my walk. I want to be closer to my Lord than I was the day before. That's the attitude that God's people should have. Father in heaven, I thank you for the passage of Scripture that we have before us. Faith that produces works that bring glory to your precious name. Lord, it's so easy to get casual in our walk with Thee. We get satisfied with where we are. And that means there's a serious problem with our spirit. We need to have our thinking transformed. We need to realize that we are not where we ought to be. We need to be pressing onward and upward, drawing closer every day, drawing nearer to Thee so that You will draw nigh to us. I pray, dear Father, that You might give us an attitude that doesn't ignore the perils of this world, but instead is alert, always watchful, and seeking to be walking closer with Thee, our Savior, each and every day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a good evening.